Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 to verse 17. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." Now, verse 16 is helping us to understand how wise people live. "They make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Let's talk about the right response this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we worship you. For the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So Father, as we share in your word, we ask that you will inspire us by yourself, that you will instruct us by yourself, that regardless of what each and every one of us is dealing with, you will, through the preaching and the teaching of your word, address us where we are, heal us and comfort us where we are, and show us exactly what to do next in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' holy name, we have prayed. Amen. For those who have been at Hill City for a while, you probably will remember the title of my first book is "What You Choose is What You Get." Now, where is this message coming from? In the last about 3 weeks, I have observed, you know, the happenings, especially in Nigeria, but much more than in Nigeria, even all over the world. And the witness of my heart is how that a lot of believers have allowed themselves to be carried away. A lot of believers, without even inquiring with God, took steps, took positions, had reactions, okay, that has violated covenant with God. Some people have been robbed of their assignment under God. Some people have allowed hate. They have allowed negative emotions in their heart because of the wind that has been blowing over the earth in the past few weeks. And the Holy Spirit began to stir my heart to show to people that there is a right response, all right? There is a right response. In other words, to every situation, to every circumstance, there is a right response. There is what to do per time, all right? In the book of Genesis chapter 2, God came to Adam and God said to him, God brought all the animals, and the Bible said God presented each one of them to see what Adam will call them. And the Bible records that whatever Adam called each animal, that was its name. Listen, what God was trying to show Adam was that, look, what you choose is what you get. You have the wheel and your experience is going to be configured by your choices. Let's look into scripture this morning as we begin to flesh this up. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 38 to 42. It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said." Look at verse 40. "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." Hallelujah. Verse 40 again. "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." If we saw Martha, we would have said Martha was busy. If we saw Martha, we would have said Martha was active. In fact, many people use Martha as their point of contact. Many people pray to God and say, "Make me like Martha." But the Bible describes Martha as being distracted. When I look around our world, I see so many children of God distracted by what's going on around them. She was distracted by all the preparations that she had to make. Now, look at her reaction. I'm going to show you another verse of scripture, and you will see that the moment a person is distracted, the moment your response to life is wrong, you will engender a negative emotion. Look at what the Bible says. She came to the master and asked him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" The moment you are distracted, you will see offense. She was offended at the master. She was offended at her sister. Then she was now going to manipulate the master. She said, "Tell her to help me." God is showing us something here. See, the moment your response is wrong, the moment you are not in sync with the Holy Spirit, this is what you begin to observe. Negative emotions, manipulation. Okay, she was offended at Jesus. She was offended at Mary. And then she was now trying to use Jesus to compel Mary, okay, to do what she wants her to do. Now look at verse 40. Very instructive. The Bible says, Jesus speaking said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Hallelujah. I want you to look at this verse of scripture. We're taking our time with this because you need to get this. The moment your response is wrong, you see distraction. You see anger. All other negative emotions. You see offense. She was offended at Jesus. Offended, okay, at her sister. Now, Jesus was not trying to let her understand. Listen, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That's powerful. Mary has chosen. In other words, what Mary is experiencing is a function of choice. Mary did not get here by happenstance. Mary got here by choice. When you look at the life of somebody and you think that person has a better deal in life than I have right now, or you think that person has a better experience under God, you need to understand it's not enough that God wants it for you. You have to choose it for yourself. If you are taking notes, you want to write that down. It's not enough for God to will it for you. You have to choose it for yourself. Martha was distracted. The Bible says that Martha was worried. Martha was upset. As you're listening to me right now, what is the state of your heart? If the state of your heart is not joy, regardless of what's going on externally, you need to tweak this morning. Martha was distracted. Martha was worried. Martha was upset. Mary could have been upset. Mary could have been worried. Mary could have been distracted, but Mary made a choice. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, to every situation, there is a right response and there is a wrong response. All right. To every situation, there is a right response and there is a wrong response. I'm saying to you this morning that you are not a victim. Things are not happening to you. It is actually the other way around. Things are not happening to you. You are happening to things. It's not possible for things to happen to you. When we look at scripture, as we share this morning, you would understand what I'm saying. There is a right response. Even when what's going on is not what you want, you can respond in such a way that you turn it around. Hallelujah. Come on, say to yourself this morning, you're watching, anywhere you're joining us this morning, you can just type it in the comment section. Let me know that you are with me this morning. Say, I am not a victim. Things are not happening to me. Okay? When I choose the right response, I can turn anything around. Let's look at scripture again this morning. The book of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3 to 7. The Bible says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering. Fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. Can you see what we saw in Luke chapter 10 now? Cain was very angry. The moment your response is wrong, a negative emotion will follow. Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Look at verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Oh, I'm not sure you saw that. The two of them took actions. It looks as if God was blessing somebody, God was not blessing the other. The Bible said God looked with favor on the offering of Abel, all right, and he did not look with favor on the offering of Cain, as if God was partial. No, God said to Cain, you can choose your experience. The reason why I did not respond to you that way is because you chose wrongly. Now, the beautiful thing in that verse of scripture is, God is saying to him, he says, look, why are you angry? If you did the right thing, okay, you would have been accepted. And God is trying to tell him, there is still something you can do about it. Listen, what you are going through is not the ultimate. It can be worse than this. The Bible says, sin is crouching at your door. So for Martha, she went to Jesus and she resorted to manipulation. For Cain, he resorted to murder. And you need to understand, when you are not where you're supposed to be emotionally, when your response to life is wrong, the tendency is for you to begin to hurt people around you. You begin to hurt people around you. you begin to hurt people around you. Let's look at the city of Lagos, for example. People went on rampage and were damaging things. At the end of the day, both the people that protested and all who supported them, everybody now seemingly is a victim. Everybody now is a victim because people could not process their experience properly. I've seen Christians, believers, leaders in church say what they are not supposed to say because they allowed the emotion of the moment to get the better of them. So you've got to understand, the Bible says sin is crouching at your door. Matter resorted to manipulation, Cain resorted to murder. Okay, this is my message to you this morning. What the devil brings against you is not the real attack. Okay, what the devil brings against you is not the real attack. The real attack is what he deceives you into doing or not doing. Let me say that again. What the devil brings against you is not the real attack. The real attack is what he deceives you into doing or not doing. Let me tell you in another way. You see, God is not responding to the situation of your life. God responds to your response. Come on, write that down. God is not responding to the event or the situation, regardless of what's going on. God is waiting on your response. Hallelujah. God is waiting on your response. Send that directly to a friend. Tell the person, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what you are going through, God is waiting on your response. No matter what people are saying, God is waiting on your response. The pain may be excruciating, but God is waiting on your response. You see, because God responds to your response. Hallelujah. God responds to your response. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. When you understand, I'm going to read it in a moment. When you understand Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, when it dawns on you the essence of that verse of scripture, you will realize that everything can only happen for you and not against you. Okay? Everything can only happen for you and not against you. To the people who are backstabbing you, to the people who've tried to sabotage you, to the people who have done evil against you, you need to understand they are not your enemies. They are helpers of destiny. Hallelujah. They are enablers. No matter what it is, they may mean it for evil, okay? But God is involved. There's something I call the secret of Joseph, and I'm going to share that with you this morning. This is what I call the secret of Joseph. God is involved. Therefore, I will choose my response. Come on, somebody, you can say that to yourself. Because God is involved, I will choose my response. Hallelujah. You've got to be conscious of that. I am not alone. The Bible says in Genesis 39, it came to pass that Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, the Egyptian master. The Bible said, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused him to prosper, even in the house of Potiphar. Because, listen, when God is involved, it can only work together for your good. If Joseph would be allowed in heaven to come into this service and preach to us this morning, this is the message he will preach. This is what Joseph will say to you. He will tell you that in life, whatever happens to you is not as important as how you respond to it. Whatever happens to you in life is not as important as how you respond to it. When it dawns on you that God is involved, I want you to pause for a minute and think about that situation you are dealing with. Think about that circumstance you are dealing with and say to yourself, I am not alone. God is involved. Hallelujah. He is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You've got to remember that. God is involved. Let's look at Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19 to verse 21. This is when brothers of Joseph went to him and they were afraid because now that their father was dead, they thought Joseph was going to deal harshly with them. Look at what Joseph said to them. But Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you?" Look at verse 20. It blesses me so much. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good." What Joseph was saying is, even when they were making the negative decision, even though they had sinister plans in their heart, at that very moment, God was involved. Hallelujah. He says, "But God intended it all for good. He brought me into this position so that I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children." So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Can you see Joseph choosing his response? I wish I had time this morning. When I was studying for this message, there were so many things I could bring up, so many characters of the Bible who turned things around, who learned how to choose their response in whatever situation they found themselves. Joseph is a very good example. He chose his response at every point in time. He said to his brothers, look, listen, I am conscious of the fact that God is involved. That's my message to somebody this morning. You have to realize that God is involved in your affairs. You are not alone. You are not a hustler. You are not struggling to make ends meet. No. God is involved in your affairs. Listen, if it will derail your destiny, God will not allow you. If it will take you out, God will not allow it. Bible says he will take it, he will turn it, he will work it together for your good. So I came to say to you this morning, don't just react, respond. Don't just react, respond. Even as at this moment, don't just react, respond. Pastor, why are you saying that? Listen to this. Because every situation is at least one of three things. Please pay attention. Every situation is at least one of three things. It can be a combination of one or two, but at least three things are happening in your life, okay, in every situation. Listen, it is either a harvest or a test or an opportunity. I'll say that again. It is either a harvest, a test, or an opportunity. That situation that you are dealing with, that circumstance that you are going through, what we are facing as a nation, regardless of where you are now, regardless of what it is that you are dealing with where you live, you need to understand every situation is either a harvest, a test, or an opportunity. And I'm going to show you what I mean. If it is a harvest, it means it is feedback. This is the return of something you have done in your past. Okay, the situation is a feedback. It's either a good experience or a negative experience. Now listen, if it's a negative experience, it is feedback telling you to correct yourself. And so the right response in that harvest season is correction. You write an exam, the results come back, and they say you failed. You need to understand it's not enough. You are not a failure. That's just feedback telling you that you need to what? You need to prepare differently. You need to approach this situation, you know, or you're fired on the job, or you are let go, or somebody broke your heart and said they don't want a relationship with you anymore. You need to realize it's a harvest. It is the returns on the kind of life that you have been living, the kind of things that you have been doing. It's feedback. So what you need to do is just adjust, correct yourself. And now sometimes there are good experiences that come to you as a harvest. Okay, you have done good to people and now they are returning the favor. Okay, you've been nice you've been dutiful on the job and now they are returning the favor. Sometimes the harvest is a positive experience. There's still a right response. When it's a good experience, when it's a harvest of something you did in the past, what you should do with that harvest is that you use it to reinforce your conviction. This is very important. You use it to reinforce your faith. So this is what I'm trying to say. If I'm in a situation and I trust God and I pray to God and I release my faith and the situation turns out the way I prayed about it, the way I asked God to turn it around for me, I'm not just supposed to just get excited. I'm supposed to take that experience and turn it into confession and use it to reinforce my conviction. As a matter of fact, what you do in the future, when you see another challenge, when you see a test in the future, you can use the testimony of the past to fortify yourself in the present. God who showed up before, God who did it before, God who helped me before, he will do it again. And that's why God in the Old Testament, whenever he moves in the lives of the children of Israel, he will tell them to build a monument so that when your children will ask, in other words, this experience is not only a harvest, in this harvest there are seeds that can configure the future. It's very important. If your money is flowing fine right now, regardless of the money, use this opportunity to reinforce in your heart that God is a provider, that God is your source, that God is faithful to his word, that truly he supplies your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. One of the ways you do that, you reinforce your conviction, is by thanksgiving and gratitude. You go ahead and use the opportunity to say, Lord, I thank you. You did a business deal and it worked out. You say, Lord, I thank you. You create a conviction. You reinforce your conviction with that experience. The second kind of situation you may be dealing with is a test. This is important. Now, God allows a test in your life to reveal you to you. A lot of times we assume we are mature, we assume we are disciplined, we assume we are in control of our emotions, we assume we are on top of our game. And God sometimes would allow a test to reveal you to what? To you. So listen, when you are facing a test, all you need to do what is to express your conviction. A test is an opportunity for you to practice what you preach. That's the truth. And believe you me, ladies and gentlemen, until it is tested, it's not a conviction. So your conviction is not authentic. You yourself, you are likely not to be authentic until you are tested. Every relationship is tested. Every conviction is tested. So the situation, if it is not a harvest, perhaps it's a test. You need to understand when a test comes, all you need to do what is to express conviction. Live out what you truly believe. That is what a test is all about. Tests, and the third one is an opportunity. They are closely related, but they are different. Now, an opportunity simply is what is a chance for you to configure the future. Something happens in your life and you know this is an opportunity. You understand what I'm saying? You know this is an opportunity. Somebody approaches you, they have need. And they approach you at such a time that you have the money. You know this is an opportunity. I'm going to sow a seed into this person's life. Now, what you do when you sow such a seed, when you respond like that, is you configure the future. Are we getting this? You configure the future. You configure the future. Okay, let me give a personal example. We've been having some issues with the generator in church. And I called a young man, okay, to help us. And the guy came and he brought people and all of that. And that evening, you know, we're talking, and at a point he pulled me aside. He said, "Pastor," he said, "whatever it takes for this gen to work and for you to get the best of service," he said, "I'm going to do it." I said, "Thank you very much." He said, "Do you know the reason why I'm doing this?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "A long time ago," and as he started saying, "A long time ago, I couldn't remember." He said, "I was in a difficult situation and I came to you and you helped me." Honestly speaking, I couldn't remember what he was talking about. Now, I have forgotten, but he remembered. See, but much more than even people remembering, God remembers. So situations are going to come into your life. You've got to be sensitive. And that's why I'm sharing with you this morning. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to choose your response. Okay? Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Words are seeds. Words are seeds. Actions are seeds. Regardless of what you are dealing with, what you are going through in that situation, your word is a seed. Your actions, okay, they are seeds. So you have to choose the right response. Don't just react. Respond. Let's look at scripture. Psalm 126. Psalm 126 and verse 5 to verse 6. It says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful singing. He who goes back and forth, weeping, carrying his bag of seed for planting, will indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Oh, I'm not sure you are seeing this verse of scripture. Look at what the Bible is saying to us here. Okay? There is the emotion of the moment, and then there is the right response of the moment. Are you getting that? There is the emotion of the moment, and there is the right response for every moment. In other words, in that situation, even though you are weeping, you have to be mindful of the seed that you are sowing. That's why I'm saying to you, don't just react. Respond. Listen, they said something about you. They did something. They messed up your business, or they did something about your reputation. You feel bad. The Bible says, "He that goes forth weeping." But you've got to realize the emotion of the moment is not all that is happening. That situation is also an opportunity. It's either your harvest, it's either your test, or it's an opportunity. So it says, "He that goes forth weeping, but conscious of the right response, the seed to sow." The Bible says, "He will what? He will return carrying his sheaves with him." In other words, if you choose the right response, you will configure the future. Hallelujah. If you choose the right response, you will configure the future. And when things change, people change. Hallelujah. When things change, people change. And one thing I love about people is they change their minds all the time. So forget what people are saying about you. Forget what is going on. Okay, forget about the impression of people, what they've said behind your back. Don't fixate on what somebody is thinking about you at this point. Listen, you make sure that at this point, you are responding correctly. You are sowing the right seeds. I told you, your words are seeds. Okay, your actions are seeds. When you choose the right response, you configure the future. And when things change, people change. Okay, they will change their song. All right, they will change their expression. They will change their impression. Your reputation will change. It does not matter what they are saying about you right now. If you choose the right response, and believe you me, for every situation, there is the right response. Hallelujah. There is the right response. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 8. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Can you see this? Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Listen, regardless of how he feels when he is sowing. What I'm showing to us this morning is that a lot of people have allowed their feelings, they've allowed emotions to configure their action, forgetting that how you feel is not all that is happening. Things may be negative. You may not have money right now. It does not mean you are not in a season to make certain moves, okay? To respond in such a way that even though you are in a tough place right now, 2 days from now, 5 days from now, 3 months from now, things are going to change and you have something you can do about it. When I read Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, these are two things that I'm seeing from there. It is that you are either reacting to people or responding to God. And who you choose is what you get. You are either reacting to people or responding to God. Don't forget what I told you. In every situation, God is involved. Hallelujah. God is involved. So you see, when the noise started and everybody, you know, NSARS and all of that, I'm not saying this because I am better. It's just that I've learned this principle before now, so that no matter what happens, I have learned not to react, but to reach within me and to choose my response. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do that as I round up this morning's message. But you need to realize every time you are responding, you are either reacting to people or you are reacting to God. Because no matter what the situation is, God is involved somehow. So the Bible says in the text that we read this morning, it says, "Be careful how you live. Live like the wise, not like the fool. Making the most of every opportunity because of these evil days." Now, there's something I need you to get as a believer. The way that God is involved in your affairs is the same way the devil is also lurking in the corner. You need to get that. See, the devil does not go on a holiday as far as your case is concerned. It's not like there's a time where the devil says, "Let me attack him." And no, you are perpetually under attack. The devil is just waiting for the opportune time to swoop in, all right? And a lot of times it's in these responses. Don't forget, what the devil does to you is not the attack. It is what he deceives you into doing or not doing. Some people just get depressed. Some people just throw in the towel and just give up. You know, some people get so depressed to the point where they say, "I will take my life." That's the truth. Some people look, for example, at our nation, Nigeria, and they cannot see any hope. This is a problem. It's not because there is no hope, but because you have ignored God in the situation. You are reacting to people. You are not responding to God. So let's wrap it up this morning. How do I choose the right response, especially under pressure? Especially under pressure. I saw many people who felt the pressure to say something. They felt the pressure to do something. As a matter of fact, I don't know if it happened to you. People will come into your inbox and they will tell you to sort of, okay, say something, do something. And people, some violated their conscience in a bid to say something. That's the truth. Violated their conscience in a bid to say something, in a bid to do something. You banded up with the wrong people to do the wrong thing. I'm not saying that the protest was wrong, but I am saying for some people, it's not your business. You were not supposed to be there, or that's not what you are supposed to be saying. That's the truth. You know, in every conflict, there are three sides. There is the offended, there is the offender, and then there is the peacemaker. I've come to learn in life as believers, we are in that third category. Listen, we don't serve a God who takes sides. We serve a God who takes over. And you need to get this as a believer. You can't afford to pick sides in every situation because God does not pick sides. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You need to understand, even when the person is on the other side of the table, God is on the other side of the table. God is your side of the table. So there is a third perspective. And as a believer, you have to learn to figure out the third perspective and let that be your stand. Hallelujah. Figure out the third perspective. God, what's your position on this matter? God, how would you respond? How would you handle this? How would you want me to respond to this matter? And this is what I'm trying to say. For some people, they had to say something. But this is what you find out. If God is involved, it will come out through the filter of love. That's the truth. It will come out through the filter of love. You will say what you are supposed to say, and it will be full of love. It will be full of honor because it is coming from God. But when God is not involved, you see negative emotions. You see manipulation. You see lying. You see men trying to use whatever means to achieve their objective. All right? And that's not your way as a child of God. So let's wrap it up this morning. How do I respond when I'm under pressure? I want to choose my response. But you know, sometimes the situation is happening so fast. Sometimes my emotions are so, you know, so worked up. I can't think straight at this moment. Pastor, what should I do? Number one, press pause. Press pause. You need to understand you are not to respond immediately. Important matters are seldom urgent. It's very, very important. When something comes with a sense of urgency, you have to do it now, you have to do it now, you have to do it now. Be careful. The devil is involved. You have to respond. You have to say something. You have to respond. The devil is involved. You've got to be what? You've got to be quick to listen, but slow to speak. You've got to hold back. So how do I press pause? You rest in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You rest knowing fully well, even if I don't respond, even if I make a mistake, even if I miss my timing, everything is going to work out for my good because God is involved. It's important. That is how you can rest. That's the only basis upon which we rest. I am a man. I can only do what a man can do. But because God is involved, with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, all things are possible. And God works out everything for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Let's quickly look at that scripture. We quote it a lot, but I want you to look at it yourself. Verse 28 and verse 31. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Verse 31 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Hallelujah. And I was saying something during prayers in the course of the week. You've got to realize that the most valuable thing that God has done and that God can do in your life is the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you know that you have, when you treasure your salvation, when you truly understand the value of what you have, you know that there is nothing that you need from God that he's not going to give you. There is nothing. Direction, okay, how to respond. Listen to me. There are things you will deal with that you cannot even say, what does the Bible say about it? It's not black and white. Okay, but in that self same hour, God will not leave you. God will not abandon you. He will not let you respond wrongly. He will come through for you. But you've got to rest in God. He loves me. He cares about me. All right. Even if I make a mistake, he will work it out for my good. Hallelujah. So you press pause. You rest yourself in God. Hallelujah. Then number two, I want us to read this verse of scripture first, and then I will show you, because number two is actually A and B. There are two things involved in this second point I want to share with us. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 19. It says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. How do you fight this battle? It's in verse 19. It says, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Verse 19 is powerful. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Verse 19 again. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Hallelujah. Pastor, how do I choose the right response under pressure? Number one, I said pause. Rest in God. Rest in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Regardless of what the situation is, it's going to work out in my favor. Now, this is number two, and I told you there are two things involved in number two. Respond according to the word. When I say the word here, I'm talking the Greek word rhema, which is what God has said concerning the matter. What God has said to you concerning the matter. And I make bold to say, a lot of my brothers and sisters did not bother to seek the face of God. Some of us did not pause long enough to find out, God, what are you saying to me now about this situation? How am I supposed to respond? Many of us have retweeted and retweeted things that have now been declared to be false. Many of us have caused damage indirectly because we allowed ourselves to be carried away by the bandwagon. So you've got to realize you are going to respond based on what God has said concerning you. Oh, Pastor, I'm not that mature. I don't hear from God. Listen, follow scripture intentionally, not conveniently. I'll say that again. Even if you can't hear, you don't know how to hear God, you're a baby Christian. What has the Bible said concerning this matter? How am I supposed to respond according to scripture? If you don't know the Bible, then ask somebody who is mature. This situation I'm dealing with, what does the Bible have to say about this? And I'm going to show you the second part because it's important. So the first thing I told you is to rest in God. So don't force a reaction. Rest. Take some time. Be slow to speak, but be quick to listen. So take some time. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, just thinking about the situation, the Holy Spirit will respond to you. He will send you a word. He will speak to you. All right? The second thing I'm going to say to you is this. Never violate your conscience. Now, this is important. Never violate your conscience. It is the voice of your spirit. Now, we're going back to Inside Out. Now, for those of us who remember that series, you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Your spirit has a voice. And your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. When God begins to speak to you, the basic way He speaks to you is through your spirit. And so if you rest yourself in God, when you rest long enough, deep within you, truth will come to the surface. That's the truth. Look at the Bible. Let's look at the Bible, and I'm going to explain this in a moment. First John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27. Let's look at it from the Amplified Bible. It says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you," can you see this? Every believer, all of you know the truth because it teaches you, or rather it teaches us, illuminates our minds and guards us from error. Listen, you can't be wrong unintentionally, because the Holy Spirit will not allow you. But what happens to a lot of people is we don't pay attention to our conscience. We don't follow our hearts. Look at verse 27. It says, "As for you, the anointing, the special gift, the preparation which you received from Him remains permanently in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you." In other words, your response cannot be a function of what a man is saying. Are you getting? This is very important. See, this principle is, this message is not just for what's going on in our nation right now. It is even in your life, in your marriage, on your job, in your business. It's not what people are saying. Most of the time, people speak according to how they feel. And emotions are not always true. They change. Hallelujah. They change. But the Bible says, "As for you, the anointing, the special gift, the preparation which you received from Him remains permanently in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But just as His anointing teaches you, giving you insight through the presence of the Holy Spirit about all things, and is true and not a lie. And just as His anointing has taught you, you must remain in Him, being rooted in Him, knit to Him." Hallelujah. In other words, in every situation, there is a right response. That right response is going to be inspired in you by the Holy Spirit. But if you don't learn to practice quietness, if you don't learn not to hurry, if you always remember, important matters are seldom urgent. That's the truth. Important matters are seldom urgent. Listen, this is what I'm saying. If God wants you to respond and you keep a walk with the Holy Spirit, He would alert you long before the situation. It would alert you long before you are supposed to act. So when situations happen and you don't have any prior information from the Holy Spirit, don't react. Pull back. Tarry until you have clarity in your spirit. Shut your ears to what men are saying. They will confuse you. Because there is a right response to every situation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Much more than the words that I've spoken this morning, I know God will take this word in our hearts and it would help us to apply it to different situations, different circumstances that we are dealing with in the name of Jesus. But please take this from me as a child of God. Every situation is either a test, a harvest, or an opportunity. And to every situation, there is a right response. When you respond correctly, you configure the future. And when things change, people change. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We worship you. Because we have received light through your word this morning. And I pray that, Father, beyond the words that I've spoken, that, Father, you would help each and every one of us to live in the reality of this word. That, Father, from now going on, we will respond the way you want us to respond to every situation, to every circumstance, in the name of Jesus. And because we respond correctly, we configure the future. Regardless of the negative emotions, we are conscious of our words and our actions because they are seeds. And as we sow the right seeds, Father, we configure the future. We will doubtless return carrying sheaves in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. We have prayed. We have prayed. We have prayed. We have prayed.